What role does government R&D funding really play during a crisis like the one we're having now? Where does it fall on the list of economic priorities for the country when there's a long list of organizations that really need financial support? R&D funding certainly creates jobs for scientists in the same way that infrastructure funding creates jobs for construction workers, or defense funding creates jobs for engineers and manufacturing workers. But which is more immediately important as a stimulus, a dollar spent in a research lab or a dollar spent in a hospital system? Both investments provide jobs today and finished products tomorrow. Research funding might lead to some new synthetic material or new energy source in 10 years, but a new highway or a new bridge or a new hospital might lower transportation costs and increase hospital capacity today or in the next year. The effects of R&D spending on the national economy have been the topics of numerous research studies by the U.S. Bureau of Economic Activity and by the National Science Foundation. Their studies showed that there was a direct growth in GDP for industrial sectors that rely heavily on R&D. And until recently, economists have measured R&D in the same way that they measured infrastructure. It's the cost to create some kind of physical facility. But now, economists are trying to change this. They've realized that the historic link between innovation, R&D, and new jobs seems to have stopped. In one edition of the annual National Science Foundation's R&D survey, 40,000 businesses were asked to describe how they use internal and government funds for R&D, where it is spent, and how much is directed towards services versus manufactured products. There's a need for an economic model that describes the national stimulative effect of money spent on R&D. Certainly, the proponents for R&D and infrastructure can both provide case studies of investments that bore no fruit at all, while both can also show case studies where small amounts of money led to huge economic returns. But is there any dependable pattern to the effect of spending in each one of these areas? Larry Summers, when he was the director of the National Economic Council, said that a question that should be much more of a preoccupation for all of us is, what are the animating technologies that are going to drive our economy forward? There was a tremendous wave of innovation in connection with the Second World War. It generated the jet airplane, electronic technologies, and radar. Their diffusion fueled a period of rapid productivity growth, which improved the standards of living and made almost everything else work better for the generation after the war. Summers was focusing on the return on investment for money that were put into new technologies. R&D prior to, during, and after World War II provided huge advances in radar, microwave, radio, television, nuclear power, and transportation. The research generation that followed brought us personal computers, cellular communication, the internet, web-based businesses, and logistic and operational efficiencies. But the World War II era investments were not completely unique in time and effect. That initial momentum of invention and innovation has carried through to today. The 1940s were a significant launching point that changed forever the nation's and the world's views of what science and technology can add to our human existence. The publication Research Technology Management has included many articles on the positive, negative, and null effects that R&D investment has had on the financial future of individual companies within several industries. But we still do not appear to have looked at the impact that R&D has on the national economy as it compared to the impact that other activities and investments have. This kind of insight and a model of it are essential tools in engaging national leaders to apply public money to R&D or creating R&D incentives for corporations. David Goldston has suggested that the National Administration's promised economic stimulus package offers another opportunity to align policy goals with research priorities. Truly inventive transportation research has never received more than a crumb of investment. We need more R&D on information networks and intelligent highways that direct drivers to the fastest routes. Better planned communities that reduce the need to drive in the first place, and more flexible and appealing mass transit systems. Goldston's focus on transportation suggests improvements in efficiency and quality of life. Investments in infrastructure, which may include new technology, can reduce the amount of wasted time and energy that the nation spends commuting between home and work. These changes could improve individual and organizational productivity, getting us more work from the same amount of resources. This kind of productivity was one of the major interests of the former Federal Reserve Chairman, Alan Greenspan. He could see the impact that computer technologies were having by allowing each person to generate more value and revenue for a company and for the country. Turning drive time into work time could have a similar effect. Though the scales may be different, Greenspan believed that computerization was improving productivity by 3% per year, effectively adding 1.2 hours of productive labor to each employee every week for a year. Reducing drive time may be able to generate this kind of improvement as well, but without a compounding effect. It might eliminate 1 hour of daily travel from those in the new highway and community systems, providing 12.5% fixed productivity opportunity for the fraction of the population that has a significant commute and has access to the new system of transportation. This 12.5% boost would be a one-time but constant level of improved productivity. Its effect on the national economy is diluted by the ratio of commuters who can use it to those who do not commute or cannot access the new system. There may be some logic in assuming that people who have such a significant commute hold jobs with high pay and high contributions that motivate people to accept the commute in the first place. So, this improvement may accrue to exactly the people who make the biggest contribution by adding an hour to their day. David Duncan observed that the president was very supportive of R&D funding and eager to find areas in which research can make a big difference in society. During President Obama's campaign, he talked about launching an initiative to create renewable sources of energy that would be akin to the Apollo space program in the 1960s that put men on the moon. Among other things, he said he wanted to double the budgets of the National Institutes of Health, the National Cancer Institute, and other federal research and development agencies in the next 10 years. Improvements in medicine are another form of productivity enhancer. In a society with a larger portion of senior members, medical advances that allow them to live a more healthy, active, and productive life accrue to the benefit of all of society. Instead of suffering the infirmities of age, a big portion of society may remain healthy enough to avoid heavy use of government-supported medical programs. Some of them can choose to continue working and making an economic contribution at an age when their parents were unable to make that choice. These kinds of economic contributions are not of the accumulative type described by Greenspan, but they're more like an annuity that makes payouts every year and is reducing the value rather than growing through compounding. Finally, Julian Seidel has reflected on the new administration's intention to create a federal CTO position. In the face of a financial crisis, this seems to be an administration that understands the importance of science and technology in society and the historical impact that successful R&D has had on society. But in the absence of an economic model that can compare the beneficial effects of a dollar of research versus a dollar of infrastructure, the question of which is better for the country falls away unanswered.